Hello, I'm Joel Hughes.
And I'm Aurora Alexander.
And this is the Psychology Pathways Podcast.
We help busy psychology students succeed.
If you want to contact us, send an email to psychologypathwayspodcast, all one word, at gmail.com. Hello, Aurora.
Hi, Joel.
So how are you doing at home? We're in week 5 of the lockdown.
Well, I am doing my best to adjust to this new normal and trying not to, because I respond really well to limits and deadlines and parameters. And so having my routine adjusted is detrimental to me. But I've figured it out and I'm learning this new, you know, life that we're in, braving this new world.
And speaking of new world, when we started this podcast last August or so, could you have imagined that we would be recording our final episode, at least the introduction to the final episode, from different houses by telephone?
No, absolutely not. Like nothing in living history, in living memory. You know, I'm always a big... I always go back to the phrase, you know, the best predictor of the future is someone's past, you know, and so yeah. I've never experienced anything like this. And even in the history books, I don't remember anything ever happening like this. So there's no way I could have ever in my crystal ball predicted that we would be ending the semester like this.
I know.
It's bizarre.
So on the one hand, I want to celebrate because we had over 3,000 listens in our first season.
Wow, I am honestly from ear to ear grinning because I can't believe that we hit that. It to me it was astronomical. When essentially I said, you know, you had asked me, what's your goal? And I was like, I don't know. I think it'd be great if we got 200 listens. You were like, 200? How about 2,000? And I was like, okay, 2,000.
Yeah, I remember that.
I can't believe that we went past that.
Yeah.
Before the end of spring semester. So I'm totally bowled over.
And part of that is because we ended up having 20 episodes, even though we'd only said we would have 12. You know, we made a lot of bonus episodes as we realized that there were people nearby that we could interview about issues like travel abroad and the chemical dependency counseling program. And we just started doing bonus episodes and that puffed it up to 20 episodes, which is a lot for one season.
Yeah. And I think that that's what's great. I love listening to podcasts and I like seeing that there are, you know, that their finger is on the pulse to what's going on and getting new updates from this or a bonus episode here. I feel like, you know, someone is giving me an extra treat. So, and plus it was so easy for us to record that when yeah. something would pop up on our radar, we immediately would just be like, okay, let's record something. So I thought it was great, a great addition to an already solid season for season one.
And so the people listening to this one are listening on May 4th or after, and the last one is called Gap Year. And since the world has changed so much, I kind of wonder if a lot of people aren't going to be taking a gap year that maybe hadn't intended to.
Yeah, I think that this is really going to be throwing students through a loop, whether, you know, you're getting ready to graduate or you're graduating in May. I have students that are, you know, in this weird kind of space where what do? Do I apply for a job? Do I wait? Do I get into graduate school? Do I wait? And so I think more people will be, you know, maybe flirting with the idea of taking a gap year. And that's because they're just trying to get their sea legs right now. I think everybody in the economy is just trying to get their sea legs. And so I think it's double pressure for a new graduate.
Yeah. And we have no idea how bad the employment apocalypse is going to be. And a long time ago, we had said that this might be the golden era of master's degree programs. Now it's too late for PhD programs to start applying now, but it's not too late to think about getting into a master's degree program, because if you can pay to go to a master's degree program, I think a lot of schools would be loving to see you come.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the extra year or two that it would take you, it would allow you a little bit of time to, again, see yourself in this different position, because a lot of students struggle with going from being a student to a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a professional program like a master's degree would give you a little bit of time to get your head into that arena. And then that also trains you hands-on to, you know, prepare you for a specific field. I think a master's degree is a really great idea for somebody, you know, that's thinking like, oh, I just want to help people. But, you know, maybe you can do it in a mental health like counseling program, or possibly going on to do social work or something like that. That would give you an arena to kind of, you know, try out those sea legs and gain your composure and see yourself now as a professional more so than a student.
Yeah. And speaking of gaps, though, it's time for us to take a gap, because we're not going to start season two until probably about September. And so what I'm going to do in the meantime is to take the summer to let the dust settle a little bit and to study to see if I can understand more about what college and careers are going to be like after the COVID-19 pandemic, because I do believe that we will get to the other side. And then I don't know. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, the airline industry is just gone. Healthcare is going to get hit really hard. And so there's going to be a lot of changes. And I think that us in the career and graduate school space will be studying and figuring out what we can glean, what insights we can come up with. And so I'm very excited for season two, even though I have no idea what's going to be on season two.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a great platform for us to really explore this with students, because I think they are thinking about this, but actually having professionals that work in it every day to really kind of talk things out and explore the ideas of how to navigate this effectively in order to, you know, come out unscathed on the other side and maybe in a better position than before COVID. I think this is going to be a good opportunity for us to really explore those opportunities and to talk about the craziness and the employment apocalypse.
Yeah. And I guess in closing, we didn't know this, although now we look like prophets, but the idea of having your portable psychology advising meeting turned out to be a good idea for the last 5 weeks, at least.
It was. Look at us being ahead of the curve.
Yeah, in a real unfortunate way. And so, but I bring that up because if you're listening to this and if this helped you, feel free to email us or share it with your friends. We'll probably be locked down for a little bit longer, probably through most of May for some states. And then, you know, we'll get back to creating podcasts over the summer and we'll have a new season for you starting in about September. And by then, maybe we'll know a lot more about what's going on. But we just wanted to point out that we're not completely tone deaf. When we recorded the gap year episode, it was before anybody knew that any of this was coming. And we know it's going to be a really hard time. And so we're going to keep making podcasts and we're going to keep putting them out. I wouldn't bet against us putting out another bonus one in the summer if we come up with something. But for sure, we'll try to get another season started in September.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, you take care, Aurora.
Thank you.
Okay, Aurora. Highs and lows for the week. Do you ever do that with your kid?
No, actually, I never have.
I do that with my girls, where we're like, okay, this week, highs and lows.
Okay.
What was a good thing that happened, a bad thing?
Okay. So you're asking me this now?
What do you got?
Like in real life or just, okay.
Or
so
anything.
Low is I was mowing my grass last night and I got stung by a bunch of yellow jackets.
That is not good.
That was a low.
I do not like yellow jackets. They serve no purpose. Now, honeybees I like.
Yeah.
Okay. What about a high? Something good that happened this week.
Already?
Or last week, whatever.
Okay. I got to see a friend of mine that I haven't seen in forever. We used to work with each other, and so we had dinner, and it was very nice.
Wow, that is so ironic, because actually, maybe that's not irony. Maybe it's just coincidence, but that's just going to be the high for me for the week, too. But I'm going to start with my low, because you're right. People would rather hear the bad news first.
Right.
So lows, my $3.6 million federal grant was not funded, and so that's not fair, and I don't know what is wrong.
No.
It makes me sad. But you know what? that's okay. That's what we do. We do a lot of grant writing right. and trying to get the money to do the studies. And I found out that this particular submission is not going to be funded. It wasn't even scored. So back to the drawing board.
Womp womp.
I know. Well, you know, you get a lot of pitches, and so I'll keep swinging.
Okay.
But Hise, last night I had dinner with my very first McNair scholar from over 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not going to name names because I don't have his permission.
Okay.
But this individual came to me when I was brand new on the faculty, and we worked together for 8 weeks in the summer in the McNair Scholars Program, which is named after Ronald E. McNair, who was an African-American astronaut. And Dr. McNair was actually on the Challenger in 1986 that exploded. Yeah.
Oh.
And so in his memory and to remember his legacy of scholarship and character, I think it's Congress that actually started a program. And we've had this program now at Kent State for 20 years. And
That's incredible.
He's in town for the 20-year celebration. And I guess they're having a conference for the McNair Scholars Program. But anyway, it was so nice to see someone who I've worked with just for a split second.
Mm-hmm.
And what it reminded me of, because he's gone on to be, you know, he's a doctor now. You know, he got his PhD at a good school, and now he's faculty at a good school.
Nice.
And so he was here to thank me, and I was like, who are you thanking? I mean, it was 8 weeks, you know? And so, but it was still, it made me feel so good, because I'm sure you've had that experience where maybe you meet with someone in advising for, you know, 6 semesters.
Mm-hmm.
And literally those 6 meetings that you might have changed the trajectory of the rest of their life.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure. And not even just working with students, but I remember me as a student, my faculty advisor when I was in graduate school. Okay. So in the book of my life, there's definitely a chapter devoted to him, because if it wasn't for him, I would have never gotten into student affairs. I would have never have been in this realm. I didn't even know that this was, I thought student affairs was, I remember talking with him and I remember saying, eventually I see myself working in a university setting. And he goes, then why aren't you doing student affairs? And I said, you mean like hot dogs and luau's and stuff? And he goes, No. He said that's student activities. And I go, oh, and so he had to tell me what it was. And then like he pulled back the curtain, he showed me what it was. And if it wasn't for him being introduced, you know, into my life, I would have went down a completely different path. And I am so incredibly over the moon thankful for him. Like, I still value him to this day.
And yet you did all the stuff.
Right.
All he did was pull back the curtain, and then you decided that you were going to, you know, go back there and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And in the same sense, the person that was my McNair scholar, you know, he took advantage of whatever opportunities came his way when he was in college. And he was at a college that didn't have a lot of research infrastructure. And so when he found out about this summer program, you know, he came, and I remember them asking me, hey, we have someone here, you know, will you work with this person? And I was like, fine. You know, I like to.
You were new.
Yeah, I'm just doing my thing. And well, you know, it's important to pay it forward.
Yeah.
And so he said the first time he met me, he walked into my office and there was a giant stack of papers right next to the chair where he knew he was supposed to sit. And he thought, are those for me? And so then I just pushed the stack of papers and say, learn this. And so, and yeah, I mean, that's where it all started. And now he also told me he just signed his first dissertation in terms of like he was on the committee for another student. And ever since he was here at our university, you know, all through graduate school and his faculty job and his postdoctoral fellowship, he's done the same thing where he's taken on these people that he mentors and works with and helps them to succeed.
Sure.
And so anyway, it all comes around. And so that was a really good feeling, because it's like, I didn't even do that much. I mean, it's 8 weeks.
You feel that. You feel that way. But honestly, to the person that you're helping, it's their world. So in the chapter of this guy's book, or in the book about his life, there's a chapter about you. It might only
maybe
be one or two. It might only be a page or two. But, I mean, it's 8 weeks, but it was significant. He took a hard left. You know what
I
mean?
He did. Well, it's something that Bandura calls serendipity. And Albert Bandura is maybe one of the most famous psychologists in the history of psychology. And there's something about luck. You know, just be in the right place at the right time, but you have to show up. And so if you show up
and be present.
Oh, yeah. If you're present for the McNair Scholars Program.
Mentally present. Yeah.
You know, we have a summer undergraduate research experience. You know, we have undergraduate research day. Mm-hmm. People are giving talks all the time. You kind of have to show up. And if you show up for the different things that come your way, peer mentor program.
Yeah.
Honor societies like PsyChi is a national honor society for psychology. But whatever you can do to show up, you never know what kind of good luck is going to come your way. And then you might find one of these people that I call coaches, you know, like your advisor, or what I did with this individual where, you know, I can't play the game. All I can do is call a play.
Right.
And say, or even give you a choice. What do you want to, what play do you want to run? Do this or do this? Mm-hmm. And then if they do it, you know, you're the athlete. I'm just the coach.
But you look like the rock star, you know. But even though
it looks like that, but the reality is that he's my hero, because here's this individual that was at a university that does not place a lot of people in PhD programs. That's the whole point of the McNair Scholars Program. And he comes here and he gets some research experience, and then he's able to turn that into an admission to graduate school, and then he's able to turn that into a postdoctoral fellowship and eventually a faculty job. And so he's super successful. You know, he's more successful right now than I was when I was his stage of career, you know. And so I'm so proud. And it all started with just showing up and doing something. And now he's doing the same thing, you know. I don't know what is the future holds for this person whose dissertation just got defended, but he was part of making that succeed.
Yeah.
So anyway, my recommendation for students everywhere is if there's a special thing, if you have a McNair Scholar Program, summer undergraduate research experience, if NSF or NIH or anybody is hosting any special anything, apply. Apply for the two-week training, apply for the summer program, apply for anything, because that's where you get the connections and the experience that might really lead to something. Okay. This is the last regularly scheduled podcast for the year.
Oh, all right.
So we're pre-recording this, obviously, and I'm very curious to see if anybody listens to any of these, because I'd like there to be a season two.
That would be great.
But as promised, for episode, I'm hoping it's number 12. I guess we'll see.
We'll do the math.
I want to talk about gap year.
Yes.
This is the year-long break that people sometimes take. Now, I'm not talking about before college. You know, Americans don't do a lot of gap years before college, but actually in Europe they do.
Yeah, very
popular. But I'm
popular.
Talking about after college. Mm-hmm. Should someone take a gap year between college and going to graduate school? What do you think?
I don't have any pros or cons for it or against it. Very, very waffly about it. I say a gap year, as long as it's used strategically to your advantage, I don't see why that would be a problem, especially if you're gaining experience on some level. So whether you're working in the field or you're doing more research or you're doing like more volunteering or getting deeper in some sort of, whether you're working or you're interning, you're getting that experience on some level. I think that that is just the betterment of you, and that shows more intention on your part getting into a graduate school program. So maybe you didn't have what it takes to get in initially, so you take a year breather, but you're not folding sweaters at Kohl's in the meantime.
Yeah.
Or folding burritos. But what you're doing is actually strategically using this time away from school and the distraction of studying and reading and stuff, and you're really just going all in that experience.
So what you're bringing up is that there's, in the decision tree, there's the on-purpose gap year.
Yes.
And there's the I don't have a choice gap year.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing gap year.
And the good news is that no one can tell.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Except for the place that you didn't get into graduate school, and that's okay. So one reason to take a gap year, like you say, is on purpose, because you want to increase your experience or test out new waters or figure out other things, you know, do something intentional that will improve your resume or your CV. And another reason to do a gap year is because you just didn't get into the graduate school you applied to.
Right.
And so either way, I think it's fine. I think it's becoming more and more common. And in terms of the on-purpose gap year, the stereotype is that a gap year is a year that you take off or two between college and graduate school. But you know, we know now that 56% of psychology graduates are not going to go to graduate school. They're going to get a career.
Right.
So what would a gap year look like if you aren't going to be able to get into the profession that you want to be in right away, or your first job after college is not going to be exactly what you wanted, how can you kind of reframe that as a gap year and not underemployment? Think about that.
That's a lot to chew on there.
It is. I guess the thing is that right now people are talking a lot about underemployment, which means that the first job you get after college is actually kind of important. If you're folding sweaters at the mall, or if you're working at a big box retail store, unless you're in retail on purpose, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're just, if you're doing something part-time in food service, you know, that's not good because the research now shows that, you know, even up to 10 years later, you're just not going to have the same level of achievement as other people.
Right.
And yet we know that sometimes right after you graduate, you know, what's the economy like? Is this a good time to be graduating? You know, what's out there? And so there's a chance that your first job is going to be kind of a placeholder.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think if that happens to you, what you should do is reframe that as a gap year, where you say, okay, I'm working right now at the mall or whatever.
Yeah.
But this year, what could I be doing that would be increasing my chances of success in the future?
Yeah.
What do you recommend people do if they've got some time on their hands? Because the advantage of the gap year is that now you suddenly have time. You know, you're not taking 18 credits a semester. You're not doing all this stuff. You graduated. You have the diploma. And now you're still working in retail. What are you going to do with your time?
So what I would say for students, and I break this down a lot, is the difference between having a job versus having a career.
Oh, good point.
So having, you know, folding sweaters at a retail store, or, you know, flipping burgers, that's a job. That's a punch in, punch out. I'm just doing this to make money until something better comes along. A career is, there's trajectory, there's goals, there's, you know, there's a long-term, you know, climbing effect.
And it has a future.
There's a future in it, and you're invested in it. So I would say for students in that gap year, try to transition into, from having a job into having a career. Even if that career is so, the first job is so entry level, and you believe that it's beneath you, that's okay, but because it's not a job anymore, it's actually part of your career, and it's the first rung on the ladder.
So there's no shame in having a job because you need to eat and pay your rent.
No.
And that's fine. But you could be using that time to be trying to find the open doorway to something that has a long future, even if it is entry level. So I would suggest something like an internship. You know, there's no law that says that you have to be enrolled in college to do an internship.
That's right.
And so you could maybe try to find a internship where you maybe even volunteer during that gap year. I would suggest informational interviews.
Yeah.
There's no law that says that you have to say, I'm a currently enrolled student at University of Awesome. Can you please talk to me? You know?
Yeah.
Informational interviews. I would suggest networking. And this is a good time to go back and visit career services at your university that you just graduated from. And because maybe you didn't have time to take advantage of all the things that they have to offer.
Sure.
And so for me, if you took a year or two to figure out things, I would even suggest shopping different career fields. Maybe you didn't have the time while you were in college. You were just, you know, really, really getting that degree done, and you don't want two more semesters of debt. And so you graduated, and now you have a little bit of time to look around. And maybe before you commit to, you know, 30 years in social services, maybe you try that out. Maybe you look at business. Maybe you look at, you know, all different kinds of occupations. Maybe this is also when you're doing some soul searching to think, do I want to go to graduate school, or would I, am I really tired of school? Maybe you take a break. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to take a year to have a job and travel and hang out with people, reconnect with my family, especially if you've gone away to college, and just kind of regroup. Because then if I start graduate school or a career a year or two later, now I'm eager, I have energy, I'm hungry again.
Yes.
And so those would all be good reasons to do a gap year. And again, if your gap year is on purpose versus you don't have a choice, nobody can really tell.
No, as long as you can, and I've mentioned this before, as long as you can polish a turd and you can spin it to be positive, nobody will ever know that it was on accident.
Yeah, that's what we do with our faculty research, by the way. If we have a line of research that we can't get funded or doesn't really go anywhere, when we come up for tenure, we pretended that that never happened. You know, Maybe we were studying infant language or something, yeah. And it's like, oh, couldn't recruit any babies. Don't have any data on infant language.
Yeah.
Just move on. Yeah. Like, oh, you know what? Middle childhood attachment's where it's at. That was my other line of research. And you just polish it up. And you're like, so whatever you end up having finished is mm-hmm. what you put on the resume.
That's right.
So what do you put a job on your resume if it's flipping burgers and you had a gap year?
I'm back in the day. So resumes have trends just like fashion does. So what was in vogue a few years ago, no longer. So men in like ribbed turtleneck sweaters, no more. But they were great in the early 90s and late 90s. But so same with resumes. So sometimes you needed to show all of this employment. So you needed to show that you were just employable. Because that was the mindset. People wanted to hire people for life.
Mm-hmm.
But now no longer is the case. So people no longer hire people for life. They hire you for a specific job in that specific season for that reason. And so do you need to put burgers on there? No. But you need to put the most recent and the most relevant work experience.
Okay.
Emphasis on the relevant.
Yeah.
So your job working as a lifeguard, is it the most relevant?
No.
Probably not. But is it bad employment? No, it's not bad employment, but put it down. But what matters most is you volunteering at the soup kitchen 4 days a week.
Okay, there you go.
You know what I mean? Because you're working in depth with that population. You're in that environment. That shows intention.
So what if you take a risk and you just put gap year on your resume and you say, I graduated in 2016 and 2017 was my gap year and I did the following 10 things. Would that look terrible?
Well, you would have to, format it.
Well, yeah.
But no one looks at A versus B and says, oh, there was a year there. What were you? Nobody
because
really does
maybe
that.
Maybe you learned to program a new computer language. Maybe yeah. you learned how to do video blogs. Maybe you mm-hmm. learned things about the industry and conducted information interviews and volunteered. Maybe
yeah.
that was a year that you took to, refine your skills or network. And so I think that it's possible, and I'm just guessing, that you could spin that on a resume in order to say, look, I know that flipping burgers is not a career. I had a job, but never mm-hmm. mind that. That I intended for that to be a gap
yeah.
because I wanted to take a year after college to kind of regroup, start to pay down some debts and get myself situated and really, mm-hmm. get my head up and look around
sure.
and figure out what city am I going to move to? What career field am I going to be in? And in order to do that, I learned these skills and I made these connections. And to me, that would sound like you're a sophisticated applicant.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's one thing for somebody that goes from A to B to C and never stops and pauses. You go, whoa, what a go-getter. But somebody that actually will point that out and say, I did take a pause here, but it was intentional. And here's what I did during that time. You go, whoa, this person really has their head screwed on straight.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thoughtful person we want in this program or in this job position. We want somebody that doesn't just go because that's what they're supposed to do. It's somebody that actually put a lot of thought and was very mindful about their next steps moving mm-hmm. forward. And they chose this program. We want somebody like that. So a lot of intention behind that.
Now, I can see the value of a gap year or the necessity of a gap year in order to not be underemployed when it comes to a career. For graduate school, it's often that you're not ready to do all the applications by December 1st of your senior year because you're so busy.
Yeah.
Or you do, but you don't get into graduate school because you only had time to maybe apply to a couple of programs. You didn't get the scores you wanted on the entrance exams. And so if a lot of students end up taking a gap year or two, including myself, mm-hmm. after college because the graduate school process was more difficult than they thought and more competitive than they thought.
Yeah.
And so in that case, I think it's a little bit more clear what to do. Most people are going to continue to study for whatever entrance exam they need to take.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are going to attempt to find a job that is relevant to the graduate program that they want to get into, because now they suddenly have an opportunity
yeah.
in that gap year to do something relevant. Sometimes people try to stick around and get more research experience or do another internship.
Sure.
And then, of course, they try to keep their connections warm in terms of like the letters of recommendation, their faculty advisor. They try not to be a stranger.
That's right.
And so I think that it's becoming very, very common for people that want to go to graduate school to not just go from, I graduated in May, packed up my van and drove across the country and started graduate school in August. Mm-hmm. You know, that's rough. You can do it.
That's rough.
But that can be rough.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the kind of gap year stereotypically that most people are talking about. But today what we did was we expanded that discussion to include making sure that you do things that are relevant, making sure that you do things that are intentional, mm-hmm. continuing to do your networking and your informational interviewing. And then, you know, there's the age old question of, do I retake entrance exams, that kind of thing. And for graduate school bound individuals, there's often a lot of expanding their search for more graduate schools and like refining their application a little bit.
Yeah.
So I guess as we come to a conclusion, when we're talking about the age-old question of should I take a gap year, that's not the right question. It's not should I. It's like, am I going to? You know, because sometimes you are, yeah, whether or not you want to. And sometimes you decide, no, I'm taking a gap year.
Yeah.
And either way, make sure that you're intentional about getting relevant experience if you can. Make sure, if you're going to graduate school, that you're keeping your connections warm and that you're maybe expanding your search.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in a career, what you're trying to avoid is underemployment in the long term.
Yes.
There's no shame in having a job, but that's not your career. You're still on the hunt for a career. And toward that end, you're doing your networking, your informational interviews. You're doing maybe some volunteer work. You're looking around carefully. Maybe you're just resting. Maybe you're just traveling, yeah, but you're doing whatever it is that you're doing on purpose so that way, after a year or two of whatever job you have, you start something entry level, mm-hmm, that your mid-career earnings are going to be something that you're proud of. Aurora, do you have time for one last, is the juice worth the squeeze?
I think we have time for that. And I think we really need to tackle the other side of the coin. Should I graduate early?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So we'll kick this off.
Another question that I get all the time, and I'm sure you've gotten this question too, Aurora, is should I graduate early?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Are students showing up with a lot of credits as they are doing their orientation and like registering for their first semester?
Yeah. So more and more every year, I'm working with students that are coming in with tons of AP. They have, they do these early college programs where they're taking college credit in high school, so maybe college credit plus or post-secondary. They're, yeah, even taking CLEP exams where they're actually getting out of courses. They pay a fee, they take the test, and they get those credits. And so it's nothing for me to work with a student that already has 60-some credits under their belt.
Wow.
So that puts them into junior status, which really on paper, they should be done in 2 years.
Yes.
And so on one hand, it's awesome because the state or whoever has funded, you know, 60 credits of your college career, and you go, great, that's 60, that's thousands of dollars that I've saved. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you only have 2 years or whatever in order to finish. There's 4 years for a reason. So, mm-hmm, you don't, as a student coming in with a ton of credit, maybe you only have 30 credits. That's a full year.
Yeah.
Now you have only 3 years to do what you need to do outside the classroom. If you intend to graduate early.
And I guess early is relative.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get done in 3 years and get the experience that you need, that's fine. But if, mm-hmm, you're compressing everything into 2 or 3 years for no reason other than to save money. And you know what's great about a podcast is that you can say things that the government doesn't like. I don't think they'll come hunting for me. But, I mean, to be honest, the state would love for people to finish early because, right, university costs so much money. And I understand that. There's a lot of student debt. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so if you can save money by finishing early, that might be awesome. And so there's definitely the money issue. But I think that what people forget about is the experience. You know, do you have the resume that will support you getting a job?
Yeah. Because it's no longer, you know, when you, back in the 60s and 70s, you just had a degree and people just handed you a job. Now, you know, most employers are looking for somebody for an entry-level position for you to have 2 to 3 years of experience. Well, how do you get that experience? You know, it's through that experience. And so a lot of students will miss it, especially in a degree like psychology, not a conveyor belt degree. The experiences are not shoehorned into the curriculum. And so you do have to actively look for experience yourself. So only 50% of what you should be learning in school is the classes that you take and the books that you read and the papers that you write and the tests. that's only 50%. The other 50% is what's happening outside the classroom.
That's something that a lot of people don't understand. And it helps to explain why, like, a community college or College Credit Plus is so much less expensive than a four-year university or a liberal arts college that's a residential experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a stationary cruise ship with a climbing wall and a lazy river and a really excellent food. It's, you're really paying for the faculty, the staff, the programming,
yeah,
the opportunity to live in an environment or to be near an environment where you, yeah, can access research opportunities, internships. You know, everything that you do outside of class is your experiential, or they call it experiential learning, but it's really like your work integrated curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the curriculum that you do that isn't the credits that you're taking. And it's also your relationship integrated experiences.
Yeah.
And so, again, two of the biggest predictors of mid-career success for people that did graduate from college is whether or not they had any relationships with faculty or staff during college and did anything experiential along those lines.
Yeah.
And then whether or not they had any work integrated experience. And so, you know, maybe you're a psychology major and you had a semester at a local nonprofit social service agency, that was valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You might learn more in that semester about how social service agencies really work than from a bunch of classes.
Right.
And since people don't understand that, generally speaking, I think there's a lot of pressure from legislators and parents and peers that just get done as fast as you can. You know, and when you, the flip side, I guess, is if I could just print you a diploma,
mm-hmm,
you know, would it be worth it?
And that's what, when I'm working with students and I say, well, my first question back to them is, well, when do you want to graduate? And so they'll give me a ballpark time and I can kind of do a rough estimate of, yeah, you could. But if I handed you your degree tomorrow, what would you do? And they kind of freeze. And I say, okay, but really, what would you do? What kind of job would you get? How would you get that job or get into graduate school? What graduate school program? You know, they freeze. And so if it takes time to figure out where you're going to go,
mm-hmm,
to make long-term plans. So when students are kind of like, oh yeah, I want to hurry up and finish, I wonder what's the motivation behind just hurrying up and finishing. If there's something behind it legitimately, like I'm getting married, moving out of state, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Then finish early. But if you kind of don't know what you're doing when you're done.
Yeah, I mean, if you already have a job lined up that's waiting for you, mm-hmm, then by all means, you're not doing yourself any favors to spend three more semesters. But if you need those semesters in order to get the deep experience and the relationships and the networking and to maybe taste test a bunch of different flavors,
yeah,
you know, try on different possibilities. It's very common for people to do a experience job shadowing or an information interview or even an internship and realize very quickly that whatever this was is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my favorite stereotype of that is student teaching, where people can be in their yeah, last semester of college and do their student teaching and realize that they would rather not hang out with junior high students ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's fine. But and you can still, you know, work with that. But if you didn't have the time to even do the student teaching, then that's a problem because you may end up, you know, going to audition for a job and then deciding to quit that career very quickly.
Absolutely. And so the thing coming back to graduating early, should I, shouldn't I, is the juice worth the squeeze? Really, ultimately, it's up to you. But
this is more like, can I get any juice without squeezing?
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's the opposite.
I mean, I just look at these students that are coming in and I kind of feel bad for them because they don't realize how quickly they have to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Because they've lost time that a lot of students, they, you know, if you have four and a half years or whatever, you can kind of float through and meander around and kind of bounce around and find your place. But if you're coming in with 30, 40, 50, 60 credits, you've lost some time and you have to really know what you're doing.
Here's something controversial. How can you put off graduation if you're going to get 120 credits inevitably because you're taking a full load? Is there any way to hack the system and stick around for a semester?
Oh, well, sure. You're going to add a minor, you know.
So if you don't apply to graduate, even if you have all the boxes checked, but you did not apply to graduate and you've decided to add a minor or do something, you can eke out another semester or two if you really want to.
Well, I mean, to be quite technical, as long as you don't file an application for graduation, you don't ever graduate.
Oh, wow.
Just because you get the 120 credits and all the other requirements, I do have randomly students every semester that go, oh, wait a minute, I never graduate. Like, they never send you anything because you never applied to be done.
Yeah, you got to apply to graduate.
Yeah.
So that hack is worth the cost of the podcast right there. You can stick around.
You can stick around. Or another bonus is make sure that you apply for graduation.
Yes. Make sure you apply on time for graduation. Mm-hmm. And I only know of one university in the country that does this, and I'm not going to name them because they didn't give me permission. Mm. But there's one university where if you graduate in 4 years, you can stay for a fifth year for free.
Whoa.
And that's the year that you can take to add a minor or take some classes. Now, I'm sure that that's expensive for the university to put on this program, so it's probably pretty competitive. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, there's a lot of times that you got done with your bachelor's degree in psychology, let's say, but you didn't really get the time to take, you know, an art class or some literature, and you wanted to really learn, you know, writing or computer programming, and you couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's brilliant that some universities have an opportunity to stick around for a full year.
That's pretty crazy. I never heard of that.
I mean, how else are you going to get a parking pass and be allowed to use the rec center? You know, there's a lot of things that being a student provides. And so there needs to be some kind of mechanism for you to stay affiliated with the university. Mm-hmm. If you've graduated in 3 years, but you're not ready for graduate school, it looks like you're taking a gap year, mm-hmm. you know, and if in that gap year, you can do something at your university where you already know everybody and you already have a place to stay, you know, that would be an awesome opportunity. I just don't know that it's that common.
No, it's not common. What's common common is let me hurry up and get out of here. And I understand that everybody wants things now and yesterday, but really trying to weigh out, is this going to be worth it for you to graduate early?
So whether or not to graduate early is a long discussion that you should really have with people that know what they're talking about. And I think that you're right that the kind of people who might graduate early are honor students, or mm-hmm. they were very successful in high school. And so they're coming in with a lot of credits maybe, or they have a high capacity to take a lot of credits. Yeah. And so it's usually people that on paper are very successful that feel like I can get done in 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then paradoxically, sometimes the conversation is actually, please don't. Please take however much time is necessary for you to have the resume that supports your goal. Mm-hmm. And really, once you're there, then you're there. But if you're not there, you're going to end up taking some gap years that you didn't anticipate, or you're going to end up at a graduate school that's not the one you wanted to go to.
Right.
Or, you know, something will go wrong if you get there too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us for the Psychology Pathways podcast. Remember, we're not acting as an official spokesperson for anyone, and this podcast is not endorsed by any department or university. The views expressed here are ours alone. This podcast is the private social media property of Joel Hughes and Aurora Alexander, and is not a social media platform representing any department or university. We hope you'll join us for the next episode.
If you enjoyed the show, rate us at iTunes or Spotify and tell your friends.
Find out more at psychpathways.com. That's psychpathways.com.
And send your listener questions to psychologypathwayspodcast@gmail.com.